AutoFinancing.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
This is Free America broadcasting on the Rod Echols Show with a message to all patriots trapped behind the lines in California, New York, Boston, and Chicago. Don't give up, true lovers of America. Even as we speak, moves are being made to drive the invaders back to the land from which they came. Defeat the would-be dictators and lift the chains of tyranny from around your neck. Stay strong. Stay brave. You're not forgotten, and you're not alone. Until next time, patriots, this is Free America signing out.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Well, it is Friday morning.
Welcome to Freedom Friday.
Yes, it is Friday, August number 17 in the year of our Lord 2018 as we head towards the second half of August and the end of summer. Glad that you're sitting in there wherever you are giving a listen to this program this morning. As every Friday, for those who don't know, we take things a little bit lighter. I report to you some of the lighter side stories, still covering some of the big heavyweight stuff, but a lot more of the lighter stuff as we celebrate our ever-increasing freedom. Got some great news in that part, too. We'll clean up the paper pile a little bit. We'll go over some stories from that we didn't get to during the week. Sorry, couldn't be here yesterday. Just sort of happened out of the blue that it there was just too much noise from within the Bunkerize studio yesterday due to a couple of construction people needing to do something. And there was no way I was going to – all you would have heard was, you know, beating and banging and stuff. And just we just had to put on a best of program yesterday. But I do believe we put on a program from about a month ago with Agent 0010. So you got a chance to hear him again talk about some stuff. But in any case, we got a lot of stuff today to try to get through. And we will do our best, as we always do, but we don't shortchange anything here. For those of you who like subjects to move in rapid fire, we're not a news program. This isn't the nightly news. We go in as much depth as either I think is necessary or for as long as the subject interests me. And that's the way I do it. That's what makes the program more interesting, because if it's interesting to me, it is going to be interesting to you, because even if you think it's not an interesting subject, I have the ability, the God-given ability, this is not for me, it's a God-given ability to make it interesting for you. By the way, a little shout out you can never tell how old somebody is on Twitter, just like Facebook. You can't be sure. Social media, you know, all you can do is just sort of read what they're writing and the way they're writing to try to gauge their age. And there's a person, I know there's some people that are asking me, why do you put up with this guy, Rod? Now, I'm not going to mention his name, his Twitter handle, whatever. But the only reason why I engage him a lot, there's two reasons. Even though he frustrates the hell out of me sometimes. Really two reasons. Because it seems like he's listening or reading and paying attention. Now, he's a leftist. He claims to be a progressive. But he seems to be listening. And he doesn't just use emotion as an argument. Now, granted, 95% of the time he's just totally off his rocker. It's just a bunch of, you know, gibbly goggle, boulder dash, you know, type of stuff. That's nothing more than soundbite stuff. But there is 5% of the time where he actually comes across with something which seems legit. Now, he's mostly wrong, but at least it's a legit, it's an attempt at a legit argument. Now, with those two things combined, even though he frustrates me sometimes, and he rarely calls anybody a name. So again, simply because he doesn't call, well, you think that if he called people's names, people would say, well, he's got to be young. Well, you know, that's a millennial group. You know, that's just about every leftist. You get into an argument with them and a discussion with them, and as soon as they lose all the facts that they have, they shoot all their facts, which is about 30 seconds, it devolves into name-calling. But this guy, maybe he's a kid, I don't know, he hangs around. And so yesterday I said, you know, he was wondering, well, you know, you always claim that, you know, liberals or whatever are a pain in the ass and you can't stand them. Like, well, I never said that, but I said I like you because, you know, you're lovable. I need a Twitter pet. So he actually appreciated it. At least that's what he said. Now, I wasn't being derogatory by calling him a pet, you know, because, hey, you know, if you go into, you know, if you've been in school, whether it be high school or college, even grade school, there was that student, one or two students that teachers really sort of gravitated to that they really liked for whatever reason. They may not even been the smartest kid in the class, but the teacher really liked him for some reason. Then what were they called? They were called the teacher's pet. Now, I remember in a social studies class when I was a sophomore in high school, me and a good friend of mine, we were the teacher's pet. Mrs. Mowers loved us. Hell, we could even, you know, once in a while, we could, at the end of class, because it was late in the day, you know, it was the last period of the day. There were more than once during the year, not because she was boring, but just, you know, high school kids, what are you, 15 years old, you get tired sometimes. You doze off without even realizing it. She never yelled at us. Anybody else did it, and she was on top of a man. Well, yeah, I got an A in that class, by the way. So, yeah, sometimes it can be really, really advantageous and fun to be teacher's pet. Now, there are some people that are just normally the teacher's pet, and there are some people that actually try to be teacher's pet, and there are just some people that, just because of who they are, you know, the teacher sort of gravitates towards them and likes them and takes a shining to them and lets them get away with stuff that other students in the class can't. But that was the only time I was ever a teacher's pet, by the way. It did feel good. It was made you feel smart as well. But in any case, so yeah, he's my Twitter pet. And he is kind of, even though, again, just like you're, you know, just like when you're training a puppy, you love the puppy to death, right? But damn, can they not be frustrating? Wow. Training a puppy, when you bring him home, lovable but frustrating as hell. But in the end, what do you get? You get a smart, loyal companion. Now, do I want this kid to be a loyal companion? No, I just want him to be smart. And as long as he seems to be willing to listen, I will engage. Because that's the big point, because you got a bunch of leftists out there that don't listen. I mean, they don't even listen to, if you were to record them and then play it back, they still wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen to themselves. That's how bad they are. I'm just saying. I know Elon, I'm not going to get into the Elon Musk thing, because So the man says some tweets, and some people think that his tweets are off his rocker or whatever, you know, Elon Musk meltdown. Well, he's under a lot of pressure. I get it. But I don't, you know, he'll get past this, whatever this stuff is. I think his problem is he's not, Elon Musk is an innovator. He's not a manufacturer. And he can't seem to get the Tesla cars up to speed. And he's fallen behind on orders for the Tesla wall. And if you don't know what the Tesla wall is, you need to look this stuff up because it's absolutely fantastic. But he's fallen behind on production of the Tesla wall. Now, two reasons. One, he just doesn't know enough about manufacturing to get it going at a faster pace, order a larger pace. And he just doesn't have the money to make, you know, factories that are just gigantic like that in order to double the capacity. And two, the demand is much higher than he originally anticipated. Now, both of those, well, one of those is a really good thing, and the other one can hamper the company's, Tesla's, growth. But in any case, I don't think he's going under. You know, some people are screaming, well, he's some of this stuff doesn't work the way you said it. You know, I don't hear a lot of people really saying that. Most people who get some Tesla stuff, they love it. They say it does it at least, if not exceeds, what their expectations was of the product or service. I'm not, you know, jumping on Elon Musk's side, but this is a guy who's trying to get into space on the private side, you know, with whatever he's calling his rocket service there. But I think he's just under a lot of pressure. One of the bad things about not being your own self-funded type of organization or person, when you have investors sometimes get, you know, they get a little impatient. And they start screaming, where's the money, man? Where's the money? And you have to tell them this is a long-term thing. So they have, he's got some pressure to alleviate and blow off some steam. And sometimes, like, you know, like anybody else, he doesn't do the things that Richard Branson used to do back in his younger days to blow off steam. You know, he's not a daredevil. So, you know, he found Twitter. Speaking of which, yes, Twitter, folks, is having or did have another purge this week. Now, a lot of people were complaining, saying, wait, hey, where are my followers? Some of my followers, you know, I'm down 1,000 or 300 or something followers. And, you know, we even had some big guys saying, well, I follow 1,000 people a day. You know, I get people at 800 or 900 people a day follow me. And all of a sudden now for the last 3 days, I can't, you know, I'm barely up 3 people. Yeah, yes, there was a Twitter purge. This Twitter purge, folks, was claimed to be by Twitter an attempt to get rid of dead accounts. Now, I don't know what they meant by dead accounts. Because, you know, once again, there is third-party software out there. Some of it you pay for, some of it has a free side. Some of it's expensive, some of it's cheap, and you can go out there and not only can you use a third party software to see if, you know, how many of your followers are actually quote unquote bots or fake, and it'll tell you. Now, again, I don't know how they do it, but they do it. By the way, Twitter has revoked the access of at least one of those services that I know of. Because I went to it last week, and they said, unfortunately, Twitter does not allow us access to their platform or servers anymore, so they can't offer that particular service anymore. Oh, but it was free. Like, they're trying to shut down a lot of things over on Twitter. They want to close ranks. There was some talk. I heard some talk about taking Twitter, closing ranks at Twitter, taking it more private. Well, you know, if they do that, you're not going to get any data out of them. And that's not a good thing, folks. I'm telling you right now. If Twitter goes private, I don't know if they're trying to get rid of Dorsey, but if they get rid of Dorsey, they're going to take the company private and it's going to be held in a few hands. And now I'm not sure if Dorsey is going to lose control. If good old Jack's going to lose control. But if he does, it won't get better. I'm telling you right now. It'll just get worse. But in any case, there is a Twitter purge, and they're claiming that they're getting rid of dead accounts. And I question it because, like I said, there are third-party software services out there. Much of it has a free side. If it's not free completely, it's got a free side to it. And it'll let you do this type of thing. You can see, you know, what are dead accounts? Now, what do I mean by that? I do not know what they mean by dead. Could it be that they haven't tweeted in 6 months or a year? Well, I can go in and see exactly the last time every single one of my followers has posted. I could put in, you know, say, okay, somebody who hasn't posted in 12 months. Now, I did this yesterday. When they were talking about, well, you know, we're getting rid of dead accounts. Well, if they were getting rid of dead accounts, what is a dead account? Because there are people on there that hadn't posted, that I followed 6 years ago, that haven't posted in 6 years. I would think that that's a dead account. Now, is there a whole lot of them? No. I think amongst all my followers, I have less than 100 people, according to this report, that follow me that haven't posted, at least within the last 12 months. But would they not be considered to be a dead account? So if that's their excuse, they're not doing a very good job of it. Again, it should be pretty damn easy for Twitter to do it itself. When you've got third-party services out there that can easily do it within about 30 seconds. And, of course, it's very easy to find out because they give you the Twitter account. So all you got to do is click on it, and you're taken to the account right over on Twitter. And you can actually see. Yeah, they're right. Last post. Right there. 12 months ago. You know, you count out the days and the months. Yeah, that's 12 months ago. So sometimes you wonder what happened to these people. Did they just give up and stop and drop Twitter? Did they pass away? Did they go to jail? What? Just all of a sudden there's nothing there. They're frozen in time. That also happened on, I guess Facebook is going through that as well. Facebook is also dealing with because there was this issue of, you know, they changed their policy not too long ago. You can even sort of, I do believe it's still available over on Facebook. You can even sort of will your Facebook account to somebody. Because it was getting, well, Facebook had been around for a while and there were so many people on it that it was getting to the point where there were some places that was getting, you know, some people's pages, it was getting to be depressing because they had passed away. Some of them, you know, early. Now, I ran into this early on. I wondered why a particular person, you know, he was from Arizona. We chatted all the time. And all of a sudden, it stopped. And then I went over to, about a month later, I went to his, you know, I hadn't heard him from about a month, so I went to his page, and I'm like, hey, where are you? And I typed in there, where are you? And somebody responded, please read the post. I'm like, read the post? Read all his posts? Found out that he broke his leg in an accident, got an infection, and died. I was shocked. Now, here's this page of this guy that's nothing but a memorial to him now, and that's upsetting to a lot of people. So now Facebook has got the ability where you can actually will your account to somebody else to take care of should you pass away. Now I found that's inevitable. It's inevitable, and I guess they went through a quick period of trying to find and detect accounts that did not have a caretaker. I guess that's a different term for dead account. and get rid of them. And this is going to be an issue for all social media outlets at some point, sooner rather than later, if they're not already experiencing it. Now, you should make plans for that. For if at some point you have, now it doesn't even have to mean, you know, put it in your will, but if at some point you cannot get access to your own accounts, I'm sure you don't want them staying out there in a static position. Yeah, I make sure that there are a couple of people that I know that if anything happens to me, I can't get to my social media accounts anymore because, you know, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm paralyzed or I'm dead. That there are people that will get the information, the accounts, all the account information, and take care of it the way I desire them to take care of it. Now you gotta put, you know, social media accounts as an asset in your last will and testament. New stuff that we have to think about that, you know, maybe our parents didn't have to think about, or grandparents that definitely have to think about, but we do. And this is one of those things that Twitter says that I guess that this is what Twitter is trying to get rid of in their current purge. But again, there are far too many alive and active people who are finding their accounts being, you know, locked or deleted. It's just another excuse. Because if third-party systems or software, even the freebie stuff, can do what Twitter is saying that they're trying to do, but they can do it very easily, and it's easy to check. Well, maybe it's not so easy to figure out if somebody's a bot, but all the other kind of stuff, it's easy to check. But if they're not doing that, then what are they doing? Well, we know what they're doing. So they might as well stop trying to lie and try to hide it on us, because it's too damn easy to check. And they just think that it's, you know, well, but again, remember now, we don't own the platform. You know, Dorsey and Troop, Dorsey and Gang, Jack Dorsey and Gang, they own the platform. So they're free to do with what they want. But as I've said before, it's they should be sued for false advertising. As a matter of fact, though, did I see a report here about something, one of them being sued? Facebook. Facebook evidently is being sued because of fake numbers. Facebook misled advertisers with inflated potential reach. So says a lawsuit. Yeah, there is a lawsuit. And this is from eastbaytimes.com. But yeah, evidently there is a... Facebook numbers, fake numbers, inflated numbers. Well, I just told you that Facebook has been deleting accounts themselves, as well as people have been abandoning Facebook, and they're down something like, 2 billion, 4 billion page views per month is what they're... Now, Facebook had reached 8 billion unique page views per month, but now they're down... to half of that. They're just about 4 billion unique page views per month. Well, that's due to a number of things. You know, they once claimed that they had 2 billion accounts. Well, now it's a little over a billion. They're back down to like 1.1 billion. So there was a lot of accounts that either deleted themselves or Facebook deleted, or they were fake. So they're having, this is why they missed their numbers. This is why their stock value crashed. This is why now you're seeing some people thinking that they're going to take them on and sue them. Well, if you're going to be paying for all these ads and you don't have any reach, you don't have the reach that you promised, then you shouldn't be charging what you're charging, is what advertisers are thinking. But get used to this kind of stuff when it comes to... It's very difficult to gauge reach on social media. It really is. But they're now going to start being held accountable for their actions. It's you just wait. Some of this stuff may go away simply because if they don't stop what they're doing, they're going to get sued out of existence. And it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people.
You're listening to The Rod Echoes Show. The coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candy, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Broadcast in the Bunkerize studio for a little while. There has to be some. We had some people in here yesterday doing some stuff to try to help upgrade things that I'll need upgraded in order to be a lot better for you come the new season. And it seems that there are some, you know, well, in New England, you got old stuff. Well, There seems to be some structural issues and some electrical issues, and they're going to have to tear out a few, you know, walls and things. So that's going to take a little while for them to do that. But in the meantime, obviously, I cannot be in the Bunkerize studio while they do that, because construction people are notorious for being noisy. So we will have to Monday or Tuesday we'll be broadcasting from a non-disclosed, non-bunkerized location. It has to be non-disclosed because it's not bunkerized, obviously. But in any case, it is not going to keep us from broadcasting. And just so you know, it's going to make things a lot better here in a few weeks, because September is approaching really fast, folks. Approaching really fast. Here's out of Minnesota. In case you didn't get it, Victory offers Muslim candidate new platform to oppose Trump. Now, it's from the Star Tribune, and they're trying to make it sound like Ilhan Omar. I guess it's Ilhan Omar is her name, and she's Muslim. And she's, you know, direct. Well, she's a... She could be Somali. I think she's Somalian. But in any case, she's a female, which is really... There are two things. One, they're making it sound like she's a new Muslim. Well, not really. No, she's trying to replace Ellison, who's we already know is a Muslim. He's a part of the Nation of Islam with Louis Farrakhan, right? I think that's the kind of Muslim he is. Now, I don't think that is Ilhan Omar. I don't think she's a Farrakhan Muslim, but she's still a Muslim in any case. And, you know, they don't like Americans. Farrakhan doesn't like Americans. Well, he doesn't like white Americans. Farrakhan doesn't like anybody that's not a black Muslim. Honestly, he doesn't. But he really has a hate spot for white people, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, and he has a real hatred for Jews. You should have. Has anybody ever? Well, I should. They're probably. It's probably not online. But I'm old enough to remember what Louis Farrakhan called Sammy Davis Jr. a little. You know, at one point he called him Jew candy. Yeah, Sammy Davis has the talent that God gave him, and then he went over to the Jew. And he was nothing but Jew candy. They would suck on him and spit him out. That's what Farrakhan once said about Sammy Davis Jr. So unless you're a black Muslim, he ain't going to like you. Just so you know. Now, you know how he could be colorful with some of his language and describing things. Jew candy. I mean, that's just that was pretty interesting. That was years, like back in the 80s. I think just before Davis died, Sammy Davis Jr., the candy man can. Well, that's why he called him Jew candy, because his probably his biggest song was the candy man, right? If anything, you can say Farrakhan is very colorful. You don't have to like him, but you definitely know he's colorful. So this woman is running to take Ellison's seat. Now there's two problems with this. Now Ellison is running to be the state attorney general. Well, he's in hot water legally because there are two women, one with a 911 phone call to back it up, saying that he's accosted them and attacked them and assaulted them. Well, it seems like assault is their favorite form of weapon, because if I'm not mistaken, this is the same woman that Laura Loomer just yesterday pressed assault charges on. I'm not kidding you. I had this story since Wednesday about her winning, and I didn't get a chance to bring it to you, and I was going to talk about it yesterday, but a good thing I didn't, because then all of a sudden I saw a passing tweet. Somebody sent, they didn't send me, they tagged me in something, and thank you very much, folks, my followership on Twitter is starting to shoot through the roof. It's amazing, and the engagement that I'm getting from you people. Oh, I cannot keep up. Don't stop. I'm enjoying it. I'm doing my best to try to keep up, but I can't keep up now. I mean, I can't believe all the stuff that I'm being sent and I'm being tagged in. It is absolutely amazing. And some of the stuff that I'm being tagged in, I have nothing to do with, by the way. If somebody tags me, I have nothing to do with it. And some of that stuff goes viral, and I will just, you know, and I will log into Facebook or to Twitter an hour later. You know, when it talks about, your notifications. And less than an hour later, I will have 99 plus notifications. I can't keep up with that. Every freaking hour. It's great. I'm real happy. So that the program here is starting to get noticed and get traction, and people are sending me stuff left and right. Don't stop. Keep doing it. Because I need all the eyes, and I don't have a team of people here. And I would not have seen, but again, it was something that I was tagged in that was sent to me. It wasn't sent to me DM. I was tagged in it directly. And I had Rod Echols. Did you see this? Laura Loomer presses assault charges. I didn't. Now, I didn't click on it and save it. That was my bad. But I clicked briefly read the story, and yeah, I do believe that this is Ilhan Omar is the Muslim Minnesota female Democrat candidate that physically accosted Laura Loomer. And Laura Loomer isn't having it. She's pressing charges, man. Well, that's two Muslims that could possibly be out of this thing. I'm just saying. I mean, this is Minnesota. I don't know what the hell Minnesota is saying. Well, the problem with Minnesota is that Minnesota is a lot like Maine, except that I think it's in a worse position than Maine. It has a very large Somali refugee population, thanks to Obama. Now, understand this, folks. Maybe not necessarily Ellison, but this Ilhan Omar, and I'm not being racist here, but Ilhan Omar, she is the direct result of Obama's Somali refugee policy and letting all of those Somalians in. Now, I got to tell you, there are people, now, it's just not in those two states that he's deposited Somalians, but I got to tell you, in at first, when the Somalians arrived in Minnesota, there was outcry, not because they were black. And not even because they were Muslim, but because they were filthy. Now, that didn't seem to be the same case in Maine. But I do remember stories out of Minnesota, people asking, well, you know, can these people clean up their act, basically? But that did not seem to be the case in Maine. Just being fair here. But we see that a lot, though. And again, it is simply because these people do, it is not something that they desire to come here to be American. They were, don't doubt me that a lot of these so-called refugees would much rather be back in their home country, but they come from devastated areas. They have no idea what it's like to be an upstanding citizen in any country because their own was so terrible. They're used to squalor. And there's going to be an adjustment period for some of these people. And when you put them in large enclaves together, they're not going to want to assimilate. Or they're not going to be, quote unquote, forced to assimilate more. It's not the same thing as if you bring in one family and you put them into a neighborhood of Americans. Well, they're going to adapt pretty quickly. Instead, you bring in 10,000 of them, you put them all in basically in the same area, they're going to destroy that area because they're not interacting with other Americans. That's not necessarily the case of the Somali population in Maine, but it's not just Somalians who've done this. I mean, we see this with certain Latino groups. You go into certain cities in Massachusetts that are little Latino enclaves that are not Puerto Rican, and those cities are a mess. We call them armpits. Massachusetts had a problem. You know, Lawrence and Lowell and Worcester and Brockton, and Fall River are the armpits of Massachusetts. Now, Lowell and Worcester have been doing some renovating and called a mini renaissance in those cities, and they've been doing a good job. But they've also turned. Now, this is not me. This is people in Massachusetts. This is even some Puerto Rican saying the same damn thing. So it's not, oh, Rod, you're being racist. No, I'm just reporting the truth. You know, my birth area of Chicopee, Massachusetts, which is a suburb of Springfield, Massachusetts, home of the Basketball Hall of Fame. Folks, it's a shithole down there. Now, I know, because my parents used to talk about how beautiful Springfield and Chicopee used to be when I was born down there. You can't see it. As a matter of fact, you go down there and you're lucky if you can walk into a bodega or a store and they know English. You don't go to a corner store if you're a non-Spanish speaking person. That's how bad it's getting. Why? Because they're all congealing into specific locations, and they're not interacting with the rest of us on the outside. And let me tell you, it's filthy. These are filthy towns and cities. So it's not just Somalians. It's not because they're just naturally that well. It's the type of environment that they're coming out of. And it's just like, you know, any other human being, they have to learn new habits and new methods. So if they're not put someplace where they can learn something new, all they're going to know is what they've always known, then they're always going to act the way they've always acted. I'm not calling them less than human. Not at all. It's what they're used to. It's what they were taught from where they came from. And they're not being able to be taught anything different. Why? Because we're putting them all, we're allowing them to come here, especially the illegals. They group themselves together for protection, if you want to call it that. But they're not interacting with anybody outside. They're not becoming American. That's the problem when you do not assimilate. France and Sweden has a huge problem, and Germany too has a huge problem with anti-assimilation in their countries. I mean, you just had had 16 or 20 cars that were firebombed the other day in Sweden, just set on fire. How would you like to? Now you know, a car in Sweden is not the same as a car here. I mean, people don't love their vehicles in Sweden like they do here in America. But still, at the same time, how would you like to, you know, be awakened at one night from your slumber or being raised from your book or your television watching to go outside and find your car on fire? How would you like to be a Frenchman in France and be told, well, no, that's a no-go zone for you. You don't want to go there. You can't go there. Well, this is what's happening in places in this country because they do not want to assimilate. And they keep bringing more and more of them and putting them in these enclaves, and they don't have to assimilate. And now you're creating a lot of friction within your own country. I mean, that's idiocy. You know, we may look at France and say, look how stupid they are with those no-go zones. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, we're doing the same damn thing. We just don't call them no-go zones. But let me tell you, most Americans know not to go into certain neighborhoods. They just won't go. They don't need to be told it's a no-go zone. We just won't go. You know, my old neighborhood where I lived as a baby, I won't go. That's how bad it is. Nobody has to tell me it's a no-go zone. You know, I can't even, it's too deep within that unspoken no-go zone. I won't go. And hell, I'm the kind of person that could probably pass for being Latino. I can't tell you how many times people thought I was Puerto Rican. But I don't know any Spanish, so that would get me in trouble. So you can't allow this to continue to happen. People, no matter what country you go to, and I know leftists will say, well, they should be able to bring their own culture with them. They can. We're not telling them to leave their culture at the border. We're saying you need to adapt our culture, melt into our culture, add your culture to this very unique one. Because the same thing happens no matter what country you go to. If you're going to move there, you've got to assimilate to that country. I don't care if it's the USA. I don't care if it's Canada. I don't care if it's England. I don't care if it's France, Sweden, China. It doesn't matter. You've got to assimilate into that society. Now, most countries around the world will not allow you not to assimilate if you want to live there. You won't survive there if you don't. They're not going to give you no-go zones. They're not going to give you entire neighborhoods. They won't stand for it. Hell, just look at Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe does not have any of the problems that Western Europe has when it comes to this kind of stuff. They just say, oh, hell no. To the point of, you get some countries that allow less than 1,000 of these so-called refugees every year. To some countries that let in, like Poland, zero, zilch, nada. And none of those countries have issues in Eastern Europe that Western Europe has. Because Western Europe, it says, hey, it's a free-for-all, come on in. Eastern Europe says, you know what? Our population will die first before we get taken over like this ever again. Because, they're used to being under the Russians and Soviet rule. And they're at the point now, no, Romania, we may have a negative population growth, but we'll die first before we allow anybody to do that to us again. See, they know better. They know if they want to preserve their way of life and their culture, then they've got to take steps to protect it. We have the very right to do the same, period. And we need to do the same thing. Because we have too much of this. This is not, by the way, you folks out there who like to think that the poem on the Statue of Liberty is actually immigration policy. Well, let me tell you something. That immigration policy it's not a policy, but that immigration policy is why we're called the melting pot, meaning everybody comes together and creates a new and unique culture. We're not in that melting pot anymore. We got a bunch of little pots on the burner. So at one side you're saying, well, we got to let everybody in, but you're ignoring the other half. Conveniently, because you think it's to your advantage. I honestly think all this ultra unlimited belief in immigration into this country is going to be one of the large nails in the Democrat thought coffin. There are a lot of it. Look, this walkaway movement, man, it's still gaining steam. It is, and the very notion that it was not created by a Republican or a conservative at all, but this is a movement that was created by a registered Democrat, leftist believing, so he thought he was a leftist believing, white gay man. I mean, you can't be more liberal than that, or be more accepting of being liberal than that. And if they can't even keep people like him, then they got a real big problem. And the very fact that if you look at some of the, you look at, folks, this, I'm telling you right now, be on the watch, be prepared, because the word racist and racism is going to proliferate. Why? Because Donald Trump's approval ratings among African Americans in this country is unacceptable to them. After all this time calling him a racist, after all this time with Omarosa and just a bunch of garbage and BS, Trump's, depending on the poll, Trump's approval rating among African Americans is anywhere between 21 and 31%. Now, I know that's a big difference, but folks, during the month of November of 2016, that was election month 2016, he only had 8% approval. The 21% number today, this month, is a poll that the NAACP did. No, Trump's racist, man. No blacks are going to, he's never going to get above 10%. The NAACP puts him at 21% and rising. Now, folks, I got to tell you, the Democrats know that if they lose 10 to 15% of the African-American vote, they can't win. In many districts, they cannot win. Trump's at 21, at least, if you want to believe the very left-leaning NAACP poll. If you want to believe the NBC poll, it's 29%. If you want to believe Fox, it's 31%. So somewhere in between that, I guess, is the truth. I'm betting it's probably higher. But just think about it. All this negative press on Trump, all this calling him racist, old white man, you know, white privilege. It's all Trump has is white privilege. He's a racist with white privilege. And the NAACP still puts him at 21%. Nearly triple what he was just a year and a half ago. Unprecedented, folks. Unprecedented. Yeah, well, so they're going to get crazy. And combine that with the walkaway campaign or movement. And then we'll get into it after the break in the next hour, some of these they're repeating November of, they're repeating, 2016 all over again. Yeah, well, we'll have to wait. Now, I'm not, as I've said before, I wouldn't be surprised if the Democrats are able to squeak out and retake the House in November. I'm being serious, but I don't expect it, but I would not be surprised if that is the case. But they're starting to repeat 2016 all over again with all these wonderful, fantasiful beliefs that they're just going to crush the Republicans and get. And some of these polls that I've seen this week have it saying, oh, yeah, Democrats can retake or flip as many as 50 seats. Like, what, 50? What the hell are you talking about? Yeah, stick around. We'll get into that after the break, folks. We're not done yet.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two.